Good day, listeners and viewers. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're so glad that you've decided to join us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm sitting across from my buddy Stephen Cervantes. So how are you doing today?
I'm great. Blessed. Glad to be here. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, well, listeners, we are always glad when you join us. Just as a reminder, you know, we are a listener-supported program. So what that means is the only way that you're actually seeing us or hearing us is because we have had partners that have come alongside and joined us financially. And so if you'd like to partner with us in that way, you can just go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate button. Also, if you actually download the podcast through Apple, like through their podcasts, you actually can see in our show notes each week that there is a link there that you can actually donate to the ministry as well. But also one of the ways that you can really help us out, even if you can't financially donate, is by rating and reviewing the podcast. So if these have been helpful for you and you just feel like, man, I'd love to be able to give something back, that's an easy, free way for you to help, because the more that we get positive reviews, the more that helps when people are searching for the kind of content that we're delivering. So just rate and review.
5 stars. Just write 5 stars.
Yeah. If you don't like us, feel free to change the channel or
call the other guys.
Like if you've got an issue with us, please reach out. We'd love to help if we can. So, Stephen.
Here.
Present. So we tried to get to this content in a previous program. Uh-oh. And your brain just sort of exploded. And before you knew it, we had a whole program of just your thoughts pouring out. So do you want to try to get to what we were going to do here?
We better do the program this time. That would be good. So is that the official handoff?
Yeah.
I told John that I'm not jumping in on this one. As soon as you hand it off, I'll take it. So I love journeying with the Father because there's always a discovery. Father Abba always has something for you to learn. And if you would just treat him like Abba and walk with your Abba or your Papa and say, teach me something, Father, show me something. My heart is open. My mind is open. I want my will in line with your will, Father. Show me something. God is always giving me something, a question, something to pursue. And so my latest thing is, how can I help you see yourself? Because I can see you, right? And now let's put this in a context, right? If you're in a relationship and you're talking to your spouse, you can see your spouse. You can see that they struggle and they break down. They get mad. They get controlling and fearful. They get all this stuff. And I can see you going through emotional difficulty. But the question I have is, how can I help you see you? Because when I try to bring it to your attention, you just get mad.
Yeah.
You attack back. You say, you're not perfect. It's like, no, I was just trying to show you. Can you see you? Can you look at you? And what am I talking about? How can I get you to see your emotional weaknesses is really what I'm talking about. How could I get you to see that? So that you could live better personally, enjoy your life more, let God transform that place, then I could be the beneficiary and the marriage could grow off your growth. And then the kids and the family and the neighbors and the relatives, everybody could also enjoy that little transition. But the first step is seeing your own emotional weaknesses.
And I think it's important as we go through this conversation today to recognize, the primary context that we're probably going to be illustrating here is a marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. The principles that we're going to be outlining can be helpful in any relationship, a friendship, parent to their child, you know, siblings.
Yes.
I mean, because this is really about emotionally maturing, right? It's about being able to say, How do we help someone else see something that they need to grow in?
Yes.
And then the other side of that is, how do we receive that when somebody is pointing out that we got a blind spot?
And so, you don't know. If you don't know your emotional weaknesses, then you don't know where to do your emotional work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And are you doing emotional work? See, I don't think most people know. They got a damaged emotional program.
Right.
Everybody picked up some poor programming in youth. And if you haven't gone back to review it, you're running a broken emotional program in adulthood that got constructed in youth. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing to me, and this is why I think this conversation is important, think about it this way. If you grew up in a particular environment that helped shape that programming of a broken emotional system, how would you have knowledge that that is a broken emotional system without some kind of outside information coming in to say, hey, you know what? The water you've been swimming in is polluted. But if that's the only water you've ever known, you're like, I don't know it's polluted because that's all I've ever known. So this is why this conversation is important. We need to realize, I mean, I think the first thing on the side of being able to receive this kind of information or receive this kind of correction is recognizing, like you said, we all have broken emotional systems. So the first thing I think that would be helpful is when somebody might come to us and say, hey, X, Y, or Z is really kind of unhealthy and not a good way to do certain things, rather than just immediately being defensive, can we at least admit, well, if it's true that everyone has a broken emotional system, can I at least admit mine's broken too, and maybe I could learn where it's broken?
I love that. So first, you're saying take ownership. Everybody's system is broken, and some to a lesser degree, right? Think about how many people you know who have a lot of peace and joy in their lives. I mean, doesn't that seem to be the smaller percentage of people?
Way smaller.
Yeah. And then people are stressed or angry or tense or pushy or controlling or, you know, whatever they're doing. And so people try to tell us, hey, you know, you're tense. I'm just joking with you, but you know, you're kind of tense. I mean, they won't say it straight at you. Man, lighten up, man. You're all knotted up over there. No, hey, you're a little tense. Knock it off. And they'll drop the message and they'll get out because they think you're going to slap them and blow at them or something, right? We hear it. We know it. But why do you think we don't want to take the feedback from others? You worry too much. You are not happy. Mm-hmm. You seem mad all the time. You know, you don't rest well.
Yeah. Well, first of all, when you talk about tense, it made me think of how I like to tell people in a veiled way that they're too tense. You're a teepee in a wigwam.
Wait a minute. You're a teepee
in a wigwam. You're too tense.
Excuse me.
It's a bad joke. It's a dad joke, right?
That is too bad. So this is COVID, and so I have my mask, and
yeah,
understand if you lived in 2020, COVID masks otherwise. But I keep mine, so if I cough, I'm going to cough into a mask so I don't share with my brother here.
Yeah, so I'm sorry that my joke caused a coughing fit for you.
Starts laughing, I start coughing. Yeah.
So, no, but I think the other thing, too, is I think it's important to remember on the side of those who are seeing in others their weaknesses and wanting to share that, it's also important for them to remember everybody has a broken emotional system. Because I think that will help maybe the desire to point out certain things. Yeah. It will help to bring more empathy and compassion in how you try to do that. Because if you're looking at this person and it's so obvious the things that are broken in their emotional system, but you're coming in a way that almost makes it seem like you don't have a broken emotional system, then you're not going to have much empathy or compassion for trying to help them. It'll be more of like, and I think this is what typically happens is sometimes when somebody is maybe trying to help, they need to be able to say, am I trying to help or am I trying to get this person to look more like me in my broken emotional system? Does that make sense?
That makes sense. So if your spouse comes to you and says, hey, lighten up. She loves you and she cares and she's not the enemy. Right? She's trying to deliver a message about the weakness of your programming coming out, and it's hurting you, and it's hurting me, and it's hurting our conversation, and we're sort of stuck right here. So I love that you repeated that everyone has a broken emotional system. And number two is everyone is driven by their fears. Right? We want to be loved, but we don't all feel loved, right? And then
well, that was part of the programming of the broken emotional system, right? Because the fact that even if we had good parents, they were broken
right.
people.
Yes.
And so therefore, that is going to have an effect on how we feel connected,
mm-hmm.
how we feel embraced, and whether we feel close emotionally or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that is going to shape whether or not.
Yes, but what is the fear? The fear is I'm not going to be loved well. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be loved. And if you tell me something's wrong, you're going to step right on the fear that I'm not good and I'm not going to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to push you back from saying that.
Oh, yeah. If you think about it, you know, if we think about, as we've been mentioning, everybody has a broken emotional system.
Yes.
And when you think about the fact that everyone also has a core fear, the thing that automatically will be created in any broken emotional system are walls of defense.
Yes, that'll come up.
So to combine all these things that you've said, when you recognize that we all have a deep intrinsic need to be loved.
Yes, it's it.
With this fear that I'm not good enough to be loved or
and I won't be loved.
And I won't be loved.
I won't be loved. Yes.
Then it's easy to see how any kind of even warm invitation to change something that is perceived as broken in me
right.
would immediately erect these walls. I mean, it's
amazing. But wait, it triggers the fear and then the walls go up.
Yeah, because it's at least from my perception, it's tapping in on a threat to that deep need that I have to be loved.
That deep fear, right.
Yeah.
And so why do you throw up the wall? Because it's too painful for me to be flawed and rejected and attacked.
The irony to me is that the more we condition ourselves to throw up these walls, the more we are actually moving away from the possibility of being loved.
And connected, that's right. We go back into isolation and survival.
So it's like it compounds on itself.
Exactly.
And we get lonelier and lonelier.
So when I, remember how I started, how do I help you see yourself? Because the first thing you're going to say to me or the lie that you're going to use to fool yourself so you don't have to see yourself is this. Hey, I'm fine. What I'm doing is normal. There's nothing wrong with me. I know myself. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm normal. So when you tell me, hey, take a look at this weakness. Hey, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. I'm normal.
Well, it goes back to what I was saying about, well, if you have, you know, thinking of a fish that's raised in polluted water.
That's a really good example.
It's like, well, hey, if that's been my environment, I don't know anything other than that. Then if somebody comes in and says, hey, you know that water's polluted. It's like, hey, I'm fine. I'm normal.
This is a normal water. What are you talking about?
And so in some ways, there is a kind of truthfulness to what that person is saying related to normal.
Yeah, that's true.
But normal doesn't necessarily mean healthy or good or, you know, it's like just because something is normal to you doesn't mean that it's actually good for you. Just because, so another example might be, hey, it's normal that I eat, you know, 5 dozen eggs and 3 packs of bacon every day. Well, just because that's normal doesn't mean that when somebody comes in and says, you know, you're killing yourself by eating that much kind of food. Why? What's wrong? Nothing's wrong with me. That's normal.
I'm normal. It's fine. Everybody else.
So we need to recognize that the normalness of our broken emotional system.
Oh my
system,
goodness, that's a great insight. That is your norm.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that because it's normal, it's actually good for us.
Yeah,
and so we need to be at least open and that's where I think the person who's trying to help the person see that we need to also remember we need to be creative and persistent in trying to help that person. In other words, if you just keep pounding the same, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong.
Right.
And that person just says, I'm normal, I'm normal, I'm normal. At some point, somebody's
got
to shift.
That battle going on, yeah, it's not good. So lie number one is, this is the norm, I'm fine, shut up, don't tell me. So what's lie number two? Remember, how can I get you to see yourself? That's the question. I'm your friend, and I want to help you see yourself. The first thing you're going to tell me is lie number one. I'm normal. It's fine. Nothing wrong. So what's lie number two? Lie number two is no one can help me. I know what to do. I just have to make this little change and it's fine. It's no big deal. Nobody can help me. I have to do this myself. Nobody can help me. I'll do it. It'll be fine. Right? You hear right in there, there's something where we say, I don't need to talk to anybody. I know what to do.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As you're saying that, I'm thinking about, okay, let's go back to childhood and how this broken emotional system was being programmed.
Okay.
And the natural response then to build walls, right? Because we're saying, hey, I need to be loved. I'm afraid that I won't be loved, so I've got to build these walls. Well, the interesting thing to me about this is that that can feel noble and right mm-hmm. and good, but actually, do you know what it's doing? It's growing a sense of pride.
Mm.
This idea that no one can help me, almost saying, I can do this on my own.
Yes.
That is core to the broken mm-hmm. emotional system because Stephen, what is emotional health and emotional maturity? It's deep connection with other people. It's vulnerable connection with those who love you. It's an openness. It's an honesty. It's a transparency.
Yes.
And so therefore, it may not feel like the way we think pride manifests, because we often think of pride as really just kind of arrogant and really bombastic, you know, and things like that. Whereas this is a kind of pride that can feel, it feels, kind of weak. It feels small. It feels like I'm just trying to protect myself. When in fact, you're actually
and
saying,
control it and myself and do it. I don't need outside. It's right. You're saying this little system has the ability to do whatever the little system needs.
Yeah. It's kind of like thanks, but no thanks. Yeah. I can take care of it on my own.
Right.
And it feels like we're actually trying to protect our hearts, protect ourselves again from those fears. But it's actually, it's doing the very opposite thing of what our emotional system needs, which is vulnerable dialogue and transparent connection with others.
Yes. So there are two possible responses when you're emotionally challenged and you're unaware and it surprises you and somebody comes at you and says, hey, you know, you have this weakness. Either you defend yourself and you dismiss the challenger, or you deflect, right? You say, you too, you got weaknesses too.
Right.
Right? But you have to defend and hold on, right? And not let whatever that is that your spouse or friend wants to address in you, you brush them off, number one. Or number two, you listen, because you've shifted into a learning and open and growing mode. And so why is this helpful? Because we go to our friend or spouse and we make the presentation and they escalate their tone. They get loud. Their face gets red. They get tense. They defend. And you know, you hit that resistance, right? Versus a heart that says, well, okay, yeah, yes, I get tense, but I don't know why I get tense. I wonder why I get tense when I hear your disapproval. I start to get tense and scared, and I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to start paying attention to me more. That's a good observation, and that's a very healthy response. I'm going to go pray about it. I'm going to think about it. You know, I know your heart is good, and you're trying to help me.
Yeah, and what I would say is there's really soft edges to the second response, and what I mean by that is I think what you just stated, kind of as an illustration, was like, man, the ideal listening response.
No, that's right. Absolutely.
There's a whole lot of other room before a person gets to that response. In other words, I think there's a whole lot of other ways that listening could manifest before maybe they've just got this ultra soft heart and they're really open and they're really ready for change. But there could be something of saying, you know, maybe there's still a little bit of pushback, but they're saying something like, I hear you, but let me think on it for a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So or go slow.
Any kind of response that's open, the person who is seeking to help that person, take that and be patient with it. In other words, sometimes what happens is a person says, hey, do you realize that when you do this, man, anger just flies up in you, and that's really unhealthy. And if that person says, well, yeah, I do kind of recognize that, but can I just kind of think about that for a little bit? That's not the time for the other person to say, but I've got 17 things that I really want to help you, you know, show you how to.
That's right.
So take every little opening
slow, cautious.
With little mini celebrations, and be slow and patient with
it,
you know.
That's it. Because I think it's also a God moment for someone just to say, yeah, I do struggle with that. Then just stop. Don't do the next thing. Let the Lord work on that heart, right? Because that is huge. And that's what your point is, small steps, right?
And I think one other thing about that from the perspective of the one who's trying to help the other person see themselves is for every little opening of vulnerability, every little opening of wanting to listen and maybe think about growth and change, express some form of gratitude for that person being willing to say that. So even if they say, listen, you know what? I know, but can I just, I'm trying to work through this.
Yeah.
Even if they respond like that, but there's a little crack of opening there, say, I really appreciate you saying that you want to work on this. That really means a lot to me. And see, then just leave it.
And that's the connection, know? Right? That's a huge relational connection right there. Because remember, what's driving the fear is if I have the flaw and I admit the flaw and you see the flaw, you're not going to love me.
Right.
And you say something, but you know you're flawed and I still love you.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. You got deep inside me with that. So we're talking to two people. We're talking about emotional awareness of weaknesses. And why do they keep going? And why don't we just work on our weaknesses and get past them? Because that's really what the gospel calls us to do, is be transformed. And that's why Jesus so patiently waited and walked along with his disciples, and they messed up, and he didn't go, oh my goodness, you don't get it, you guys are stupid. He said, no, we're going to walk and we're going to talk, and I'm going to teach you better ways. So that's my little attempted dump in Jesus in our conversation, because if you were listening to the podcast last time, I said I'm going to say Jesus more. Did you catch it?
I just
threw a little Jesus in there. Okay, so either you are asleep and you don't understand this conversation at all, and you're oblivious, and you're going, emotional weaknesses have to grow. My spouse can see them. They point them out. They say, hey, why don't you work on that? There's a doorway to your soul. And I just get mad. It's like, I don't want to know. And you're asleep or you're engaged on this mission called life. And I've been thinking about this. If remember, we talked about the power of purpose, right? And we are called for love, and we are made for love, and we're made out of love, and we're made to love. So what is our mission? Our mission is to love our God well. Number one, to walk in that love. Let it just flow on us and in us and through us, and let it clean up all the chaos in us. Let us be people that know love deeply, so that I love my Heavenly Father well, and I receive His love so well, it transforms me so that I know love, I walk in love, I love with the love of Christ, even myself I love. And then one, love God, have a healthy God love for self, and number three, let the love flow out so that we reflect Abba and love and oneness and union.
So what I love about this is this pulls the two people that we've been talking about into the same community. And what I mean by that is the person who is, trying to help the person that they love to point out things that they need to see in themselves, also the person that needs to see those things about their broken emotional system. Mm-hmm. What I love about this is this pulls them into the same community because they both need the same thing here. They both need to love God, to love themselves, and to love others.
Yeah.
So going all the way back to what we said at the beginning about how everybody has a broken emotional system.
That's right.
It's good to also say here that everybody has these same three deep needs in their life.
Three missions,
we need to love God.
Amen.
With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love our neighbor as ourselves. So there's a healthy kind of self-love through that love that God has placed on us.
And I love that it came out of your mouth, love yourself, because we have taught you hate yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if you're Christian, you die to yourself. Yourself doesn't matter. You're a zero. You're nothing. Others, and then at the bottom list is you. And well, it's like, how does that show the love of the Father if it doesn't even live in you?
Well, that's just it. We misuse and misinterpret passages where Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Yeah. Deny yourself. And it's like, unless you look at the context there and say, what is he talking about What in you is he saying to deny? Those parts of you that want to rebel against him, those parts of you that are sinfully rebellious and want to do evil rather than good. He's saying that's what you have to deny. If he was saying deny yourself in a way that says hate yourself,
yeah,
in terms of like having some kind of malicious intent towards yourself, then actually the cross makes no sense. For God so loved you.
Amen, amen. So deny the emotionally sick parts of yourself. Deny
them. That are taking
them.
You away from healthy relationships and away from that
love. Yes, and from my love. Deny those things and walk in the fullness of my love.
So look at how these three missions, this love of God, love of self, and love of others, can actually impact these conversations to try to help one another see the things that are broken in each of us so that we can try to help that person see themselves. If you know that your mission is, I'm here to love God and to have that healthy self-love and to love others, when you are seeking to point out something in a brother or sister in Christ or another person that is struggling in their broken emotional system, are you going to do that in such a way that you're trying to form words that are going to harm, that are going to hurt, that are going to tear down? No, you're going to say, man, I love you. Can I tell you about how much God loves me?
And how he transformed me.
And how broken I am. And
he set me free in the power of the freedom. You're in the trap. I see you're trapped by your emotional program. And I've been transformed. I've been transformed.
So the idea is your comments towards that person are born out of love.
Yes.
And therefore, they're from this position of saying, I'm not here to harm you. I want to help you.
Right. And the power of your freedom and the intensity of your love and the clarity of your new program, the transformation is from the old program to the new program. This is, I'm a child of God. I am so loved and forgiven. And even if I mess up, I run to Abba and say, I messed up, Father. And he goes, man, I'm glad you're back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're home. This is where you belong. I have no condemnation for you. Every time you show up, I choose love. Oh, you made a mess? I choose love. Oh, you've been off? Oh, I'm love. Okay, go ahead. Give me whatever you got. You're mad? I'm love. Go ahead. You think you're in control? Great. I'm love. Okay, what you got? Bring it. Because I only have one response. That I'm going to walk in love, and we're going to walk in love, and I'm going to practice love. And I got love for you.
And obviously the greatest example of how to do this well was Jesus.
Amen.
How many times in his ministry was he showing people,
amen,
and pointing out the weaknesses and the brokenness in their emotional system and their way of doing things? And in some cases, guess what? Based on the demeanor of the individual, the words were cutting. They were harder
the
words.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees.
But you know what? I think of Peter on the beach after Jesus had risen from the dead. And he says, Peter, do you love me?
Yeah.
Like, it was probably a hard word for Peter to receive, but it was delivered in a way that he's saying, I got a mission for you. I need to get some of these things that are still confused in your mind and in your heart. We need to get those things cleaned up so that the mission that I've called you to, you can do with boldness and confidence. And guess what? Peter, this, you know, burly, calloused hand fisherman, was the first preacher in the first church who stood up, and in a 3-minute sermon, 3,000 people came to Christ. You want to talk about, like, there were things that were dealt in his broken system.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Through the touch of Jesus and being able to say, I'm going to point this out in you, because you did betray me in my greatest time of need, and I'm not going to ignore that, but I'm also not going to crush you by it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge reminder to us of how we should deliver these kind of conversations. But
great job.
Thank you, folks, for listening. What I would love for you guys to do is reach out to us, because I'm sure as we've been talking here, there have been maybe thoughts or even examples in your own life and from your own story of how this maybe has manifest and what's went well and what's went poorly. Yeah. And we would love to hear from you. So either you can email us at mypoint@puresexradio.com and kind of just share, hey, how have these kind of conversations gone? What have you learned from what we've been talking about here? How would you maybe, what are some tips that you would even give us in terms of how you would go about these conversations? Or you can certainly make those comments through our Twitter feed at Pure Sex Radio. But we're glad that you've been with us, and we do look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.
Take care.